Luke chapter 1, please, if you'll turn there. The first song we sang this morning happened to be My Redeemer. And that happens to be the title of my message today, My Redeemer. Christ, My Redeemer, is what I want to talk to you about this morning. And I'm going to read a few verses, skipping some to save time. In Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 67, in a miraculous manner, God loves to deal in miracles. In a miraculous manner, this old man and his wife brought forth a son, and his name was John, J-O-H-N, John. And the father was speechless. He couldn't talk because of unbelief at the announcement of Elizabeth's conception. He couldn't talk until the moment the baby was born. The family gathered around. What are we going to name him? What are we going to call him? Zacharias, what are we going to call him? And his wife said, J-O-H-N, John. And he looked at his father and he said, give me a piece. He motioned for a piece of paper, I guess. And they gave him a piece of paper and he wrote J-O-H-N. His name is J-O-H-N, John. And that's John the Baptist. Very exciting times. It had been 400 years since God sent a fresh word. 400 years since God sent a prophet to these people. They'd been going on in their religion, happy in their religion, bragging and boasting in their religion, and yet God wasn't in it. He told them 400 years ago, he said, you won't hear my word. You won't take it to heart. You won't give me the glory. And I'm gonna curse your blessings. In fact, he said, I already have. I'm not going to receive anything. Nothing. Nothing. They worship. They're going to church. Every Sabbath they go to synagogue. But God said, I'm not going to receive anything, nothing, at your hand. He said, when you come before me to worship in your most solemn feast, it's like playing in the manure. It's a dung feast. And I won't have anything to do with it. And after 400 years, all through those 400 years, there had been some people who waited for the redemption of Israel. When Christ, the child at 8 days of age, was brought to the temple to do to him according to the law, there was a woman named Anna, an old, old woman named Anna, just happened to come by at that time. And the Bible says she went and told all those that waited for redemption in Israel. There were some. Most of them were waiting for some kind of physical redemption, some kind of ruling king like Solomon or David, but there were some. God's always had his people. There were some who were waiting for redemption in Israel. Now, after John's mouth was opened, he was able to talk again. This little baby was born. And here's verse 67. Let's begin there. And his father, Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Ghost, and he prophesied. He told forth the truth. The first thing he did is the first thing all of us ought to do all the time. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. And he hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of the holy prophets which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, and to perform the mercy promised our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant. The oath which you swear to our father Abraham, which reaches throughout the Gentile nations, and whereby he visited us here and brought us together. We're the children of Abraham. That he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, might serve him in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, talking about his own son, John, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for you shall go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way. And that's what Isaiah said a long time ago. To give knowledge of salvation. This is wonderful. To give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission, the forgiveness of their sins through the redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to not be too long this morning, but let's think about Christ, our Redeemer. Christ, our Redeemer. You know, people use words that they don't really ever look them up, see what they mean. Christ, what does it mean, Redeemer? What's redemption mean? Can a man be partially redeemed, halfway redeemed? A man may make it his chief concern in religion to study doctrine, theology, and creeds and confessions. And all the while, Christ is in the background. They do it all the time. Brother Mahan said years ago, they talk about redemption, but not the Redeemer. They talk about salvation, but not the Savior. It's all in the Savior. It's all in seeing him. The man who makes it his chief concern to learn of Christ and know him, he'll see all the doctrine and all theology in Christ. It's all in him. He is God's message. He's not only our Savior, he is salvation. He's not only the peace bringer, he is our peace. Our Lord Jesus Christ. As we follow the Lord Jesus Christ from heaven to earth in his incarnation, we're bound to ask ourselves, why? Why did Almighty God come down to this earth to become one of us? Well, that's what this book is all about. That's what it's all about. You study Christ, you see all the doctrine. It's all in him, the Lord Jesus Christ. We see man's desperate need, and we see God's infinite love and grace, his sovereign wisdom and purpose, all in the Lord Jesus Christ. If men can save themselves, then Christ came for nothing. That's what the Bible teaches. If men can establish righteousness, as David talked about, they can do it by themselves. They don't need Christ. Christ came for nothing. But they can't do it. When we see who the Lord Jesus Christ is, who he is that became one of us, in all things it behooved him to be made like us, seed of Abraham, to live, and to die, and to rise again from the grave and return to glory. When we see that, we do not doubt. We cannot doubt. But that whatever he sets his hand to, he'll accomplish it. If he could come down here and become one of us, and still remain the unchangeable, immutable God, if he could say, no man takes my life from me, I have the power to lay it down, I have the power to take it up, and he did lay it down, and he did get up one morning and walked out of that grave, that too. Then we can't doubt but that he'll accomplish everything he set his hand to do. God said, I'll hold him by the hand when he comes. He's my favorite. I'll hold him by the hand. He'll not fail nor be discouraged, but he shall accomplish that whereunto I send him. He is the WORD, the Word of God. He is the message from glory, the Lord Jesus Christ. You study him and all the doctrines in him. It's all in him. When we see who he is and what he became, that he came down here to live and die, and that he got up out of that tomb and went back to glory, then we do not doubt but that whatever he sets his hand to, he will fully, satisfactorily, successfully accomplish. He never failed. Never failed. It was with infinite wisdom and purpose that he became a man. Infinite, divine wisdom and purpose that this one became a man. Divine wisdom and purpose that there was a conception in the womb of a virgin. That a virgin brought forth the Son of God. Son of Mary, Son of God. It was with infinite and divine purpose that he lived his days out in this world as a despised Nazarene, meek and lowly, and yet holy, holy, the Holy One of God. That's what he's called. It is with infinite wisdom and purpose that he died on that Roman cross. And his sufferings on that cross, leading up to the cross, are described in the Old Testament. The purpose of God. Peter said on the day of Pentecost, "You men of Israel, listen to me now. He was delivered by the determinate counsel of predestination of God. Determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. You, with wicked hands, you took him and crucified him and slew him. But God raised him up." God, all the purpose of God. The purpose of God being fulfilled. Acts 2:23. Now all is the planning and purpose of infinite wisdom, carried out in infinite power, proposed and planned in infinite love and grace. Everything the Son became and did. Everything. Thus, those who know the Son, they realize that he rules over all, that the Father delivered all things into the hands of the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he shall not fail nor be discouraged in the way. With him, those who see and know him, they know that with him there are no vain trials, there are no futile efforts. Whatever he sets his hand to accomplish, he shall do. As it said of the Father in Isaiah chapter 46, he said, "If I've said it, I'll do it. If I purpose it, I'll bring it to pass." Bring it to pass. That's the God with whom, well, that's Christ. He's God. He's God. He's not the little pygmy that the world sees in our day. When we see the Lord Jesus Christ, we see the purpose of God, the success of God in Christ, the accomplishments of God in Christ. He went forth conquering and to conquer, and he still is. He still is. On the cross, he conquered death, hell, and the grave, and Satan. And today, I see him riding gloriously, triumphantly. And the question arises, who is this that comes from Bozra, traveling in the greatness of his strength, blood-stained garments? Oh, bless God, it's Jesus, the mighty to save. Mighty to save. Not trying to save, not hoping to save. Mighty to save. Those angels appeared to the shepherds. They said, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, Christ the Lord." Not a would-be Savior, not a hope to be Savior, not a trying to be Savior, a Savior. A real, successful, efficient Savior. Savior, Christ the Lord. Thus, when we see the words of old Zacharias, we share his confidence. It would reveal to him who John was, what he would do, the great office he would have, and what he would announce the coming of Christ and preach to the people. What is it? Remission of sin. Salvation by having your sins forgiven. Verse 77. What he's saying in these verses we read, he said, my son John shall announce the coming of that prophet, the Messiah, the Redeemer. The Redeemer. Redeemer. And this Redeemer is coming out of the house of David. David's son and David's Lord. Surely God hath visited and redeemed his people. These people, Zacharias called his people, they're redeemed. They're redeemed in Christ. He's the Redeemer. John shall bring them to this knowledge. Redemption and the forgiveness of sins. Redemption and the forgiveness of sins. Now, when men get to know the Redeemer, they will not doubt the certainty of redemption. He never died on the cross trying to redeem somebody, but he died, he redeemed. He died, and he obtained with his blood, through his blood, through his death, the eternal redemption of his people, whoever they are. He fully accomplished that for which he came, that for which he was sent of the Father. He is a successful, victorious Redeemer. However, merely looking at the word redemption, it tells us the same thing. You're either redeemed or you aren't. No halfway point or no partial redemption. Christ either redeemed some or he didn't. And if he redeemed them, they're redeemed. Redemption means to buy back. Redemption means paying what's due to deliver. Paying a ransom to redeem. The ransom in the Bible is the redemption price. Price of redemption. And my friend, sinners are under the curse of the law of God, born that way. They're born in sin, under the law, under the curse of the law, in bondage to the law that can't get out. And Christ came to redeem. What good news. Here we are, the whole human race. By one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, death passed upon all of us. We're all dead in trespasses and in sin. We're all by nature children of wrath, and we can't get out. In bondage. Christ came to those in John 9 and said, I come to set men free. They said, we don't need you. We've never been in bondage. Then in John chapter 8, Christ said, I came to give sight to the blind. Well, they said, go somewhere else. We see real well. Till a man sees the need, he'll never see the remedy. Never see the remedy. Sinners are under the bondage of the law of God and the awful curse of that broken law. And not one man ever, not one man will ever go free without paying the full ransom, the full redemption price. Never. God can by no means. Exodus 34:7. God can by no means no means clear the guilty. Well, then how does he clear people? He makes them innocent. His son redeems them. He satisfies the law for them. He satisfies justice for them. Like David said, there's more no charge against them. No charge. The law had no charge against them. None whatsoever. The same law that condemned them and cursed them. Now, said, let them go free. And no charge against them. What a redeemer. What redemption we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. Redemption. And no one will ever go free until a full ransom has been paid. And when the ransom has been paid, dear soul, they're redeemed. And they'll go free. In God's time, they'll go free. Christ died for them. Christ redeemed them. They'll go free. Let me say it again. Here we are. All of us under the wrath of God, dead in trespasses and in sins. We've already been tried and convicted and sentenced, and we're just waiting for the judgment. And I hear the news. Christ has redeemed some people. Oh, maybe me. Maybe me. What good news that is. God loves some people. Here I am in this prison house on death row. Maybe me. Maybe He'll forgive me. Maybe. But ransom, what I'm trying to say is that ransom equals redemption. The Bible says in, I believe, Matthew 20 and verse 28, He came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom. A ransom for many. To redeem many. To redeem many from bondage. If ransom doesn't equal redemption, then you can forget about ransom and forget about redemption. There is no such thing. You know, you used to get, still can, I guess, used to get coupons in the mail and they'd stick it in your mailbox. And a coupon, you could take it to Hardee's and redeem it. One coupon, one burger. One coupon, one fries, whatever it was. But you take it down there and you offer the coupon, you get the redemption price. You pay, that's, you get the price of that coupon. You redeem that coupon. And my wife used to gather green stamps. I don't even know whether they give them out anymore or not, but different places in town give out green stamps, and you bring them home, lick them good, and put them in a book, you know. And then when you get as many as you want to get what you want out of the book, you take it down to the redemption store. Give them the stamps. They give you the price of those stamps. That's redemption. That's redemption. You redeem those stamps. You receive their value. That's what it means. Now, what is the price of redeeming a sinner? I wonder how many people in the world today, in the Baptist churches around the country today, understand what that is. What's the price? How can a sinner walk away free? How can God be just and justify such ungodly people? How can that, Job said, he which is born of a woman be clean in the eyes of God? How can, let me show, look at Psalm 49 just a moment. I believe that's what it is. Psalm 49. Verse 6, Psalm 49:6. They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, and a lot of folks do, none of them can by any means redeem his brother or give to God a ransom for him. None of them. For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever. What's the price of redemption? Well, I won't turn to all these places, but it's the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing less, nothing else. The precious blood of the Lord Jesus. That's the price of redemption. The price of redemption. My life, my death, sacrifice of myself, all the money in the world, cannot redeem my soul or anyone else's. You know those Old Testament priests, they went in daily, over and over and over and over again, offered the same sacrifices, which never put away one sin. Never redeemed any sinner from any sin. Never paid the ransom price for their sins. But I got some good news for you. Turn to Galatians 3. Galatians chapter 3. Look at verse 13. Christ, that's the big name there, above every other. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to every believer. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. How? By being made a curse for us. He became our curse on that cross. He bore our sin, our guilt, and the curse of God. And for the first time throughout all of eternity, God turned his back on his only Son, only begotten Son. And no wonder he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now look at chapter 4, verse 4. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, that qualified him to redeem us. He was made of a woman, seed of Abraham, he's one of us. Made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Now listen to me, everyone for whom he died, everyone whom he redeemed, they're going to receive the forgiveness of sins. They're going to be set free and receive the spirit of adoption and be the sons of God by adoption. Christ's sacrifice was satisfactory because of two things: innocence and infinite in one person. Innocence, that man was innocent. That man had no sins of his own. The Bible says concerning him, he had no sin, he did no sin, and he knew no sin. He was qualified to take ours upon himself. He didn't have to suffer for his own. He had none. But he took ours upon himself. And he redeemed us from the curse of the law. He was innocent, but he was also infinite. How do you value that sacrifice? How do you put a price on it? How do you put a value on it? Well, just call it infinite. You can't put a value on it. You can't. Infinite. God died. God shed his blood. That man who died was God. Man who shed his blood was God. Peter said, 1 Peter 1:18, we're redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. Not by gold and silver and these kind of things, but by the precious blood of Christ. We're redeemed unto God. Hebrews 9:12. by his one offering, he obtained for his people eternal redemption. He redeemed somebody. Boy, I'm interested in that. I want to be one of those somebodies. I sure do. He obtained eternal redemption for somebody. Why not me? Why not you? It says here, somebody, his people, whoever they are, set forth in the scriptures as believers. Let me show you some other things in the scripture. You write these down if you want. I'm not going to turn to all these passages. And there are numerous others I could turn to. Matthew 20:28. They're called many. He came not to be ministered unto, but to give his life a ransom for many. Whoever that many is, they're redeemed. He paid the price. He paid the ransom. They're redeemed. And the Latin word for ransom is redemptio. Redemptio. R-E-D-E-M-P-T-I-O. Whatever that is. 1 Corinthians 6:20. You're not your own. You're redeemed by the blood of Christ. You are bought with a price. That's what the Bible says. You're bought with a price. And Christ was that price paid. Gave himself. Luke 1:58, Zechariah said he's redeemed his people. Whoever they are, he's redeemed his people. Isaiah 53:8-10, it called his people and his seed. He redeemed them. He shall see of the travail of his soul and be satisfied, verse 11, for his people, with his people. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. He purchased the church with his own blood. The blood of God. That's what he said. The blood of God. John chapter 10. He said, I have some sheep. I know my sheep. I love my sheep. Lay down my life for my sheep. I call each one of them by name, and they follow me, and they won't follow anyone else. And I give them eternal life. Eternal life. Eternal life. Redeemed unto God by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church, gave himself for it, the church, his people, Abraham's seed, his seed. Different ways they're taught about, they're talked about. Ephesians 1, Romans 8. They're called plainly and clearly the elect of God, the chosen of God. He redeemed them. They're redeemed. And just as sure as they're redeemed, they're going to be forgiven. Made aware of what he did. In whom you trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. And the Holy Spirit's going to bring that truth to them. He's going to take that truth through the preaching of the gospel and show them the things of Christ. Show them the things of Christ. Let me show you in Revelation 5 just a moment. I want to show you something. Most people in this city, throughout the state, throughout the United States, and all around the world, think that God loves everybody alike, and that Christ died for all men. But it's not so. He loves his people. He died for his people. He redeemed his people. He calls his people. He keeps his people. One day he's going to stand before the Father. David said, "Behold, I and the children." Here we are. Here we are. And you know what they're going to look like? Just like Christ. Like him. Like him. Like him. Hebrews, Revelation chapter 5. Look at verse 9. This is what we're all going to sing. They sing whatever they want to down here. It doesn't matter. But the ones that make it to glory, the ones who are saved by the grace of God, by the purpose of God, the love of God, the power of God. They sung a new song in heaven saying, "Thou art worthy." Christ, singing of Christ. "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood." Look at those next words. Out of all the kingdoms, kindreds and tongues and peoples and nations of this world, God redeemed these unto God by his own blood. Boy, I'm going to sing about that as long as God gives me breath in this life and forever. Christ redeemed me. I was in the kingdom of darkness, in the kingdom of Satan, under the bondage of sin and death. And he came down here and snatched me out. Snatched me out. Translated me into the kingdom of his dear Son. Gave me a new nature. Gave me the spirit of adoption. Well, I've been changed ever since. Not like I'd like to be changed, but there's been a change. And then in Revelation 14, turn there just a moment. Revelation 14. These people here, verse 4, are they which are not defiled with women. They're perfect and pure, spotless and blameless, without blemish in the sight of God, in the sight of the universe now. They are virgins. They're pure and innocent in Christ Jesus. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goes. These were redeemed. What's it say next? From among men. Every kindred and tongue and people and nation. God's redeemed a people unto himself. These are redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. Christ hath redeemed a people. And this is sure if 2 and 2 is 4, or even if 2 and 2 ceases to be 4, they're going to be brought to glory. God's going to see to it. It's God's purpose. It's God's plan. It's God's wisdom. It's God's power. It's God's love and grace. He'll see to it. He'll see to it. And his people forever and ever are going to sing of his sovereign, free, redeeming grace. The effectual, successful, conquering Redeemer. Somebody might be sitting here this morning and say, "Preacher, what about me? I'd sure like to be numbered among these." You're not the only one. I would too. I want that more than anything else in this world. And the older I get, the more urgent it is. I want to know that I've been redeemed by the blood of Christ. Everybody in America thinks they have, but they don't understand what redemption is. I want to know if I've been redeemed by the blood of Christ. Well, I tell you this. You'll never know this redeeming grace of God until he brings you to see your need of redemption. I need this redemption. I have nothing to offer unto God but filthy rags. But he showed me that in Christ I can stand before God, accepted of God, accepted in the Beloved, through faith in his name. Turn to Romans 3 just a moment. Romans chapter 3. This is plain and clear and doesn't need any comment. Verse 23, all have sinned and come short the glory of God. Then verse 24 just jumps out at you. Being justified, we're all sinners. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, redeemed us to God by his own blood. And we trust in his death. We trust in him and the death he died for us. And to declare his righteousness, God's righteousness, in forgiving us of our sins through the forbearance of God, past and present. Every time God saves a sinner, Christ enables him to do so. And the death of Christ is a declaration of how God is righteous in doing so. How God is, what John say, faithful and just to forgive us. He not only may forgive us, he not only does, he's faithful and just to forgive us. How can he be faithful and just? Faithful to the sacrifice of Christ and just according to the law, his own law. In Christ, we've come to the end of the law. We satisfied the law. Paul said in Galatians 2:19, he said, I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God through the law. We mean through the law, means Christ satisfied the law for me. I didn't bypass the law. I didn't try to skip around the law. I satisfied the law in my substitute. And the next verse answered that. Paul said, I through the law am dead to the law that I might live unto God. For I am crucified with Christ. That's when he died. I am crucified with Christ. That's when his sins were punished. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live in this flesh, I live by the faithfulness of the Son of God, who loved me, gave himself for me, redeemed me unto God by his own blood, keeps me day by day, looking to him, leaning on him, loving him, and waiting for him. May God bless these words to every heart. If you haven't believed on him, why haven't you? He's trustworthy. It's impossible for God to lie. And he says these words, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. It's beyond question. It's a shall. You shall be saved. Mark, may God enable you to do just that. Okay, David.